As promised, Jessica Sarazen has come into the studio. Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
Nice to have you with us. And Teresa is going to have a conversation with you about your upcoming presentation at Arbor Gallery. So take it away, Teresa.
Yeah. So Jessica, you're of course used to be the curator at Arbor Gallery,
right?
So, but is this the first time that you've spoken at the speaker series?
Yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah, Phil and I have actually been talking about this for a while, and this year he finally twisted my arm and put me on the schedule. He put me on the schedule and then printed the program and then called me and said, by the way, you're on February 13th.
So, nice.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling about that?
Well, I decided not to stress about it.
Right.
So it's kind of a topic that I know well.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, you could just wing it. And I said, oh, I never wing it when I give a talk, you know. So, of course, I have to prepare.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, so the topic when he was talking about the speaker series, was it always this topic, the living well with fibromyalgia? Was that always
actually,
in mind?
I wanted to give a talk about money because I have a new job as a financial advisor. But
okay.
He said, no, alternative health is the way to go.
So, okay.
So we're talking about fibromyalgia. I've had fibromyalgia since I was 16. That's when I was diagnosed. And I actually did want to give a talk about it because, you know, over the past 23 years that I've been living with it, I have kind of developed some tricks and I have tips for people who are suffering from it and are just sort of starting their journey with fibro. And, it's really hard when you get your diagnosis. You don't know what to do and you hurt all the time. And one of the symptoms of fibromyalgia is actually depression or feeling down. And they're not really sure if it's from the fact that you're achy and you can't do much or if it's something separate.
Right.
So it can be a really hard time when you're starting out with it. And it's nice to have somebody who, you know, has been there to say, well, if you're having this problem, here's a tip that might help you out.
Right. So, I mean, just maybe briefly for people, I know it's probably complicated, but how would you describe fibromyalgia for someone who didn't know what it was?
So fibromyalgia is one of those diseases or collection of symptoms that you get labeled with if they can't figure out what else is wrong with you. So it's kind of related to chronic fatigue. That's another one that you can get. But fibromyalgia, one of the main symptoms is that you've got pain. It's sort of all over your body. It's not really joint pain. It's more in the muscles. And what they think is happening is that your body is interpreting the normal sensations of being a body and having muscles as pain. So your pain volume is turned up a lot higher than a normal person. And there's a bunch of theories about why this might be, but one of the big ones is it's because you're not actually sleeping the same way most people do. You're sleeping as much time as other people, but you're not getting any of the non-REM sleep. So that really deep restorative sleep, you're missing out on those cycles each night.
Oh, wow.
So it makes sense. Most of us, you know, if we don't sleep well, we get sore and cranky. And it kind of feels like you have a flu that's just starting, except it just never goes away.
Right.
So it's not much fun.
No. No, and what was it like when you were 16 and you were sort of, before you discovered or before you got your diagnosis?
Yeah.
You know,
well, I missed 2 months of school.
Wow.
You know, because you're really, really tired and you can't really handle normal activities. And it took a long time to get a diagnosis. A lot of people have the complication of people in healthcare, like nurses and doctors, knowing about fibromyalgia as a possible diagnosis, but kind of discounting it as a psychosomatic disorder.
Right. So they think it's all in your head, in other words. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, all illnesses have a psychological component. And if you can address that, you can actually feel better when you have an illness. So fibromyalgia is not any different in that sense. But it's not the kind of illness that you can just fix by going to a therapist or, you know, that kind of thing. Like, you do actually need to address it physiologically.
Right. So was that your experience when you went to doctors and they were like, we don't know what's wrong with
Luckily,
you?
Luckily, I didn't get any of those doctors. Yeah, I got doctors who took the condition seriously and gave me some starting tips on how to deal with it. Like, one of the big ones for me was one of the physical therapists said, okay, so you have a lot of pain, so you must be taking a lot of baths. And I said, no, but that sounds like a good idea, because heat and the moist heat of a bath is really beneficial when you have this kind of pain.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, and how was the experience of because it's not something you know about you just looking at you, right? Like
mm-hmm.
I met
it's
you
like an invisible.
And I would never have guessed. So is that does that make it harder or easier for you, do you think? Or what's that like?
I mean, it's handy when you are, for example, working, because nobody can look at you and see that you have this illness. So you can kind of pass as normal and you don't have to tell your employer. And a lot of people who have chronic illnesses don't want to tell their employers because, you know, you can get passed over for promotions or just kind of subtly discriminated against in a way that you can't ever really challenge.
Right.
So that's handy. If you don't want to disclose, you don't have to. But on the other hand, you know, you might be really, really sick and people are saying to you, you know, but you look fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there doesn't seem to be anything wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of cuts both ways.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you, is it something you've felt comfortable talking about the whole time, or have you sort of gotten to this point where now you're set to give a talk in front of a group of people about it, or?
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe the first few years were a bit tough because, I was still figuring out for myself how to cope with it. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't something I ever felt I had to hide from my friends at school. Like I even had friends who, I would stay late on Monday nights for band practice, for example, and that was at like 7.
Mm.
And a friend would let me go over to her house and take a bath before band practice just to keep, you know, be able to like have the stamina to last a really long day.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Very cool. And have you met a lot of other people with this condition since? Like I'm just...
No, actually. Yeah. That's an interesting point. Yeah. I haven't met that many people.
Right.
Yeah, who have it. But it's there's also sort of like not necessarily a typical fibromyalgia sufferer. Mm-hmm. Like some people have the classic set of symptoms, which I do, and then other people have sort of weird variations on it. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of variation from person to person.
Right.
Yeah.
And what kind of, so your talk is about how to live well with fibromyalgia. Mm-hmm. So what kind of tips have you picked up, or what do you...
One of them I was thinking about. I was trying to decide which ones should I share today as little teasers for
I don't want to give away like the big finish or anything like that. But if there's, or the gist of it kind of.
Well, one of them that's kind of important is the change of seasons is a really hard time for fibromyalgia sufferers because the temperatures are going up and down and, you know, interior and exterior temperatures, like, you know, there might be air conditioning going, but it's still cool outside or that kind of thing hasn't really been adjusted yet. And actually, this is something that I came up with when I was working at the gallery, because in the springtime, the interior there is really, really cold, but everybody wants to turn off the heat because it's really hot outside.
Mm.
So you end up with this, you know, kind of cold, damp place where you're working. So if you work in a place like that, if you work in a basement or a, you know, factory or that kind of thing, you might find that the best thing to do is to wear long johns right through March, April, May. So it's sunny outside and hot, it's cool in at work, still wear your long johns and keep kind of like this little heat insulation layer on you. And, you know, nobody would think to wear long johns in May, right? It's not really the right kind of attire, but it does make a big difference and it can keep you comfortable and not so achy during that transition time. It's really important.
So has it been sort of trial and error for you going?
I'm always hunting actually for new things that might help. Like I've just started using Kinesio tape. And that's like a tape that you can put almost anywhere on any muscle if you have pain or if you have overexertion because you're doing like a new activity. New exercise is really hard for people with fibromyalgia. It takes me about 6 weeks, I would say, to fully adjust to a new exercise and not have like a extra amount of pain from that.
Okay. Well.
So kinesio tape is something athletes use when they're overworking their muscles. And I kind of think of people with fibromyalgia as people who are required to be athletes every day, just because your body is different from the norm. So if you're starting a new activity and you know you get shin splints, for example, from jumping around, or like I've started playing badminton, which is a little bit harder on your wrist than, you know, a normal day. So I put kinesio tape on my wrist, and that gives me just a little bit extra oomph that I need to sort of adjust to the new activity.
That's very interesting. And so you've sort of developed these and now you feel like you want to share them with the wider community?
Yeah, because it's nice to have like a jump start when you're dealing with something that's kind of this major in your life. It's nice to sort of have like a list of things you can try out. Some of them won't work for you, of course, right? Because everybody's different. But also to have the attitude that you have to do as much as you can with this disease or It's not really a disease, it's a collection of symptoms, so it's a syndrome. But you have to do as much as you can with this yourself. The doctor isn't really going to be able to heal you. Hmm. This is really one of those things where you have to figure out as much as possible how your body works and do what works for you.
Great. Okay, so you were just talking about how you sort of developed different ways of dealing with fibromyalgia over mm-hmm. the years, and how you kind of... you said you can't always rely on doctors to sort of say, this is what you need to do, this will work for you.
Yeah.
I mean, was that ever discouraging? Because sometimes you just want a pill or something.
I think I was really lucky. When I got diagnosed, it was actually at CHEO in Ottawa. And because I was still kind of a kid in my teens, I got to see a lot of different specialists. I don't actually remember, like, you know, the titles of all the different people I saw, but it was you know, physiotherapists and different kind of disciplines that it kind of set me on this path of looking for things that I could do. Like one of the first people I visited said, okay, here's a bunch of stretches and you're gonna have to do these stretches every day. And I kind of realized you could either be the person who does the stretches or you could be the person who doesn't do the stretches, right? And it was about, and nobody was going to check up on me to see if I did them. But if I didn't do them, I could feel it.
Right.
So I don't have to do stretches every single day anymore. But, you know, when you're sick or you're having a bout of fibromyalgia, because it tends to be episodic.
Okay.
That's when you go to your base. You know, you got to do your stretches. Maybe you're going to have more than one bath in a day. You know, that's okay. It's okay to have more than one bath.
Right.
and you know, going to bed early and these other sort of self-care things that make a big difference. Because there are drugs available for people with fibromyalgia, but it's not always the best route to go. Because the things that you can do for yourself, like having good sleep hygiene and, you know, applying heat to sore areas, are probably more powerful than the effect that the drugs that are available would have. Hmm. And of course, they don't have any side effects.
Right.
Right.
Okay. And I mean, so the talk is on, 2 Saturdays from now. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's anything that people without fibromyalgia could gain from coming to the talk, right? Do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you know somebody who's suffering from it, obviously you might want to check out a talk like this that would help you sort of better understand what it's like for somebody.
Right.
But I sometimes tell people, I feel like I've been an old lady since I was 16. So if you want to sort of get a little bit of a insight into that, you know, angle of things. Not that I know what it's like to be old, but you know, there are some similarities. Like you're achy, and you're the things that you can do is different than other people, you know. And so that's like sort of another perspective on on that. But you know, if you don't have fibromyalgia and you want to go to the talk on our conversation with the cosmos and said, I won't be insulted. That's totally fine.
You can go to both, everyone. You can go to both. But maybe this is a strange question, but sort of this like searching and finding what works for you. Did you ever find that bleeds into your other parts of your life? Sort of did you?
Yeah, I guess being a resourceful person is just sort of my approach to life. So, you know, you might come away with some ideas about that for sure. And I mean, you know, everybody experiences body pain at some point, right? And most people ignore their bodies, and they can because they can get away with it. You know, you can kind of have like a dull level of pain in the background that you're not really paying attention to, and suddenly, you know, when you lie down, you're kind of hit with it and you're like, oh my god, I'm really tired or I'm really sore and I didn't notice. And people with fibromyalgia can't ignore it because it actually will stop them in their tracks. But everybody else, you know, you could take a lesson about taking care of your body from, you know, other people who kind of don't have the luxury of ignoring it.
Right. You have to listen to it. You don't really have a...
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Like pain is the body's way of communicating with you. And it's a good skill to be able to decipher what the different kinds of pain actually indicate, because it's a very blunt instrument, you know, especially if you haven't tuned into it.
Right. Okay, fabulous. That sounds very interesting. So I'm sure there's lots of things anybody could learn from your talk, or at least no matter who they are. So hopefully, I'm sure you will have a big crowd, which has been the trend so far. I think the Arbor Gallery talks have been packed houses. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's a overnight success after, what, 15 years?
Yeah. Yes, it's really hitting the mainstream. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, great. So do you have questions?
I was biting my tongue here. I really wanted to jump in because obviously, you know, Jessica's my daughter, and I've watched her progression in dealing with this condition over the years, and it's really great to see that. In a sense, I think you've really mastered it in terms of being able to predict what's going to cause you issues and stuff, and anticipate and sort of work around it. But I just want to expand a little bit on the notion that, like, to emphasize the living well part of your presentation. I know it's living well with fibromyalgia, but I think, you know, you're sort of demonstrating that living well can pay off whether you have any kind of condition or not. And I think most of us have some kind of condition or other anyway. So mm-hmm. it's just a vote of, you know, a positive vote for living well and paying attention to your, you know, your physical condition and your body and taking good care of it, you know, and not waiting maybe until you have an illness or a condition to start paying attention. As you say, you're sort of using up your resources when you're young, you know.
And, yeah, it's true. I mean, I was chatting about this with my friend Melissa Ioannidis, who's a local doctor and author, about this talk that was upcoming. I said, you know, the problem with people who have fibromyalgia is they expect their doctor to cure them, to do the healing for them. Mm-hmm. And she said, that's not a problem for people with fibromyalgia. That's a problem for all patients, you know.
Yes, interesting. Yeah. And give me the quick fix, please. Yeah. the technical fix. There must be a pill for this.
Yeah. Or I don't want any pill, but cure me all the same, right? And, you know, with a lot of illnesses, like sleep and exercise make a big difference.
Yes, absolutely. Or and just living well, you know. You want to have really good sleep and eat well.
Yeah. And your doctor can't sleep for you, and they can't exercise for you, so you better do it yourself.
Yeah. So that's all I wanted to add, is just in the sense that I guess the things that you've discovered help you control that condition, that very specific condition, will probably go a long way to helping people live better lives in general. So just from that point of view, I think it's valuable information and a useful perspective. Mm-hmm. Anyhow.
Coming up on February 13th.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just going to give the details here. Yeah. Did you want to do it, Teresa, or do you want me to do
it? Yeah, sure. I can do that. Okay. So it's February 13th at 7 p.m., I think, 7:30 p.m.
Yep.
At Arbor Gallery here at 36 Home Avenue in Van Cleek Hill. $6 per person is the admission. You can go on Facebook. Phil Arbor Excellent Events probably has some more details as we get closer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's part of the speaker series, which goes until April.
That's and right. If this does end up being one with a lot of people, which I have absolutely no idea, but there have been talks where seats in the main room were just filled up very quickly. So you might want to get there a little early just to make sure you get a good seat, mm-hmm. just in case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that Louise and I were at Miria Baladawa's presentation, and some people had to be in the other room actually to listen from a distance because there weren't enough seats. It was quite full. Yeah, so good tip there to arrive early if you want to get a seat and be able to listen in comfort.
Perfect.
Okay. Well, thanks to both of you, Teresa and Jessica, for that interesting conversation. And we're going to go to another kind of music here before we bring Louise over to help me with some...